dance is a very serious subject. I mean, for instance, we work with patients with Parkinson's disease, for instance. Yeah. So these are patients with a neurodegenerative disorder, and we know that when those patients dance, it leads to improvements in some of their symptoms. So some of the work we do is vitally important, very serious work in helping people with medical conditions.
I know the music therapy people will tell you that someone, perhaps without speech, can sing. There is something in the human brain about rhythm, about singing, about dancing that is well past any kind of form of civilization, it seems. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely agree, yeah. I mean, the whole human body is rhythmic. The heart beats in a rhythm. The brain even functions in a certain rhythm. You know, the firing of the cells has a rhythm, has a rhythm associated with it. It's a form of communication that's much older than words, even. People were communicating with their bodies before they had words to communicate with.
Yes, well, I suppose we see that in animals. We see bees showing where food is by dancing. You know, we see all sorts of fertility kind of rites in birds. You know, birds of paradise and so many others. Did we humans do that once upon a time, do you think?
We certainly did, and we still do it now. When you mentioned about birds having a fertility dance, well, human beings have a fertility dance as well. Now, we think we're incredibly sophisticated. We think we go to nightclubs, and we dress up, we wear the latest fashions, we listen to the latest music, and we think we're being ever so cool and new when we dance in nightclubs. But we're doing exactly what cavemen did, to show their genetics and their hormones to members of the opposite sex, to try and find a mate.
I know that one of my theories is that we have this very thin veneer, which we call civilization, on top of us. But the caveman is not far beneath at all. And we think it isn't. What does your research say about that?
Well, what my research shows is we know that there's a link between the way people dance and their hormonal and genetic makeup, and we use that as part of the mate selection process. Now, what's incredible, what my research shows, is that we do that right the way through across our lives. The way that we move, because as we know, as we get older, our genetics and our hormones change, our ability to reproduce changes, and becoming a mate in terms of reproduction, our reasons for that changes. And that's expressed in the way we dance across our lifespan. So when we dance when we're younger, we've got these fantastic genes, we've got these fantastic hormones, we want other people to see them, and we express that in our dancing. As we get older, those things change, our desirability changes, and therefore the way we dance changes as well.
So this brings me to the awkward part of our conversation. Is it true that dads can't dance?
Now, it's not true they can't dance, but it is true that they dance in a way that young women find very unattractive.
Damn, and I was hoping it was something else.
What we know is for middle-aged men, there's a brilliant thing called dad dancing. And over here, we've got the Oxford English Dictionary over here, and they've just included dad dancing as a sort of definition because it's a real thing.
Excellent.
It's brilliant. Now, what we know is that when men get to a certain age, you know, about 40-ish, I've looked at thousands and thousands and thousands of people dancing. And in one study, we looked at 14,000 people, and that included 8,500 men and the way that they dance, right across the lifespan. And we looked at these guys, and what we found is the first thing that middle-aged men do, when they're dancing, they enjoy it a huge amount, which is fantastic. So all these 40-year-old guys are enjoying dancing in a way they haven't before. But what they're doing, they're making much larger dance moves than they were previously. And then they seem to lose their coordination.
They lose their subtlety to start with. Okay, righto, yeah.
Yeah. So they lose their coordination in three ways. First of all, they can't coordinate with these big movements. They're different parts of their bodies at the same time, so they can't coordinate the movements of their arms with their legs, for instance.
That would seem to be a minimum requirement for sexy dancing, really. Having the top connected to the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. The coordination is really important. Now, the second thing they can't do, they can't coordinate their movements with the music anymore. And this is why, well, when you watch a middle-aged man dancing at a wedding, for instance, he often looks like he's dancing to a piece of music inside his own head that doesn't exist in the rest of the room, which is a bit odd. And the third thing that middle-aged men do is they lose the ability to coordinate their movements with the other people dancing around them. So they really do look like they're dancing completely on their own, because they're not looking at somebody else and picking up their groove and changing their movements and grooving their groove with other people around them. And this is what the phenomena of dad dancing is all about.
How is it that some men are able to transcend that, though? I mean, I suppose Fred Astaire is the great example, or Gene Kelly at an older age, he was still going strong, and even yourself, who have appeared on various YouTube videos.
Thank you very much. To be put in the same category as those other two, I'm delighted. Thank you.
But I thought you'd like that.
Well, there's certain things. You can certainly train yourself out of this. Now researchers have shown with birds that their attractiveness changes. You can manipulate the way people move to make them look more or less attractive. Now, of course, all the people you referred to there were trained dancers.
Yes.
And when you're a trained dancer, it's a bit like having plastic surgery. Because what you can do, you can mask and you can hide the natural expression of your genes and your hormones, which is great, which means there's hope for every single man out there who wants to look attractive when he's in his 40s, when he's dancing.
But you've got to get some training. You've got to get some training happening to transcend your genes and your hormones.
You do. And I do a lot of work on that. I work with a lot of people who come to me and they say, look, I've got this problem. And what I do, I don't really teach them how to dance, but what I do, I teach them how to lose some of their psychological inhibitions. And I get rid of some of the anxiety, and I get them to tame down their movement slightly so they're not quite so big and wild as they naturally want to be. And I guess it's a bit like having a haircut in some sense. I kind of smarten them up a little bit.
you are the dad whisperer.
Yeah, the dad dance whisperer, that's what I am, yeah.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Does dancing, when you've discovered the positive effects of dance on people with Parkinson's, and we know we have all of this about brain plasticity to work with, if you take up dancing and some of these instructed moves, do you think that would have positive effects on your own health, your brain health and your physical health?
Yes, it does, yes. We've certainly seen that in the published literature, that when people move on a particular rhythm, there might well be changes that are happening in the brain. Now, of course, if some of your balance and coordination problems are coming about through changes in your brain and through changes in your mind, or certainly through changes in your brain, we've seen that dancing can have a positive impact on that. Now, we know that dance is fantastic for your psychological health. But we've also seen when people move, they put people in brain scanners and ask them to do different types of dancing. And then they look at exactly which parts of the brain become active during those processes. And different types of movement activate different parts of the brain. So that we know it's almost like having physiotherapy on the brain itself by doing different types of movement. And we also know that when people dance, it helps them with their problem-solving abilities. And, of course, as you get past 50, you might start to see some of the kind of cognitive decline in problem-solving abilities.
It helps with problem-solving abilities. So you're stuck with a problem, and I'm trying to think of a way you might test that, and you've obviously gone through that. And then you go out dancing, and then all of a sudden the idea comes to you?
Yep. What we've done in the lab, we get people in the laboratory, we give them a whole bank of different types of problem-solving tasks to complete, and then we get them dancing in one of two ways. So we either get them dancing in an improvised way, so we get them just making up some movements, or we teach them a routine where they have to learn a certain sequence of steps and they have to follow a certain sequence of movements, and then we give them another set of problem-solving tasks to do. Now, what we find is that when people do some improvised movements, it makes them more creative in the verbal domain. So in their thinking ability, they become more creative afterwards. And when people do the structured dancing, the learning a pattern of movement and executing that, they become faster at solving problems without any loss of accuracy. So what we're trying to do now is apply that in schools. Imagine in schools, we get kids to sit there for hour after hour after hour not moving. We say, don't move. You have to learn. You have to learn. You have to learn. Don't move a muscle. And what we're saying is, no. We should be moving our muscles while we're learning material.
Yes, get up and dance.
Get up and dance in the middle of a physics class. So that's what we're looking at the moment, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Look, you know, the great thing about this job of mine on this particular show is that I get to play a bit of music, and I'm not going to get fired if during that 3 minutes I'm shaking my booty. For instance, you know, this is a big hit at the moment in Australia and around the world.
Uh-huh.
And if people were looking in my first floor window whenever this comes on, there's a lot of dancing going on.
Good.
What do you think that does for the rest of my workday?
Oh, it'll make you happy. It'll make all kinds of things go on. There's a great paper that came out last year called it's about sensory motor coupling. When we hear music, we feel compelled to move different parts of our body. Now, if we just let that happen, that releases all kinds of things within us. It makes us happier. It reduces our anxiety levels. It reduces our anger levels, and we can just move freely. When we try to repress that, when we say no, I'm not gonna let that groove get me, then we feel frustrated. So yeah, have a wiggle, have a move, and just do whatever when that music comes on, because that will make you feel better for the rest of the day.
Yes, brother, I'm with you. Peter Lovett, it's been a delight to talk to you, and now I'll put on something groovy and dance for the rest of the afternoon.
Fantastic.